Willie Terry, your roaming labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk Network. And today I have on the phone a good friend of mine and a longtime activist, Saladin Mohammed. How you doing, Saladin?
I'm doing fine, Brother Willie. How
all
you
right,
doing?
All right, all right. Saladin is a co-founder of the Southern Worker Assembly and also a co-founder of the Black Workers for Justice in North Carolina, right? And you're located in North Carolina?
Carolina.
Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. Okay, a lot of activists there, huh?
No, not. I mean,
no?
Rocky Mountain is a small city. It's about 56,000, you know. So there was a period of activism that was more prevalent than probably today. But there's still activism.
So, then, tell me a little bit about the Southern Worker Assembly, because that's the group that was involved in the Bessemer.
Yes. Well, tell me the just Southern Workers that. Assembly, you know, organizing the South has always been a key part of the perspective of Black Workers for Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And organizing labor was a key part of the perspective of empowering the Black working class and the general working class in relationship to the wider struggle, you know, of Black people in the South and in the country against systemic racism or what we call national oppression.
Mm-hmm.
So how to find opportunities to build a network and eventually a rank and file infrastructure throughout the South for organizing has always been an aspect of the Black Workers for Justice assessment of possible conditions, you know, to build formations like the Southern Workers Assembly.
Mm-hmm. So how did it organize?
Well, the Southern Workers Assembly was actually founded in 2012,
mm-hmm.
and it was founded at a conference in Charlotte, an assembly of workers that came from throughout the South. This was at the time of the National Democratic Convention that was held in Charlotte, which was Obama's last convention for a second run.
Mm-hmm.
The AFL, CIO, and other unions had pledged to either boycott or not support that convention because it's held in a right-to-work state, a state, you know, that denies public sector workers collective bargaining rights, and it also affects private sector workers in terms of who can join and who don't have to join the unions.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of boycott didn't really take place, but we had called a workers assembly, a Southern Workers Assembly, to bring workers together,
mm-hmm.
to commit to organize throughout the South, you know, both as a protest against the denial of collective bargaining rights in the South, which has the largest concentration.
Mm-hmm.
So we formed. Mm-hmm. You know, it took a little while to, you know, we formed. We had a couple of meetings, but we needed an issue to begin to tie together,
mm-hmm.
Our network that came out of the 2012 convention,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't occur until probably about 4 years later, when the struggle around Medicare for All emerged, and so we began to build and tie together our network,
mm-hmm.
around the demand for Medicare for All.
Mm-hmm. So, how many southern states do y'all operate in?
Probably in about seven southern states. It
right.
could be a couple more.
Mm-hmm.
We when the pandemic came about, we organized a campaign, and it's still in existing, called Safe Jobs, Save Lives. This was an effort to tie together workers in the different industries and sectors into a much more intentional campaign to organize, to fight for safe jobs, to fight around paid medical leave, safe PPE, personal equipment, and other kind of demands that defining as safe job. You know, so that was it. We had several webinars that brought together some industries. The first one was the meatpacking industry. We had meatpackers from Texas, from North Carolina, from Alabama, from Mississippi, I think, six or seven states. We brought together transportation. We had MARTA workers from Atlanta, you know, bus drivers, the transportation system, bus drivers from Birmingham, Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, transportation workers from Charlotte, North Carolina. So they talked about, you know, how this pandemic was impacted them, what demands they made, you know, their employers. Mm-hmm. We had teachers were reaching out to sectors and industries to try to begin to build some connection there to the Southern Workers Association.
Right. So y'all is still doing organizing, still building it, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay. But let me get into the Bessemer situation. You know, that's a kind of current topic that I want to talk to you about, because I know that the Bessemer Amazon workers, they were trying to unionize, and they had that election to unionize, and Amazon did a lot to kind of put a hold on that election, or put a hold on them unionizing. And now we find out but the Amazon company won the election, stopped the unionizing. This election went on for quite a while, too. You know, it wasn't like a 2 or 3 day thing. This election went on like almost like it was going into 2 weeks. Trying to wonder what was happening. But the question I want to ask you is, first question is, why was the Bessemer Amazon warehouse working, fighting for a union at this time, you know, during this COVID time? Why did they pick this time?
I think that the COVID issue was also an issue. You know, in terms of workers working together, the employer, the pressures that the employer was placing on the workers, the lack of communications about the actual impacts of COVID, et cetera, and the fact that across the country in places like Minnesota and New York, that workers have went out on strike around this question of COVID. So that was one driving point.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other driving point was the sentiment that had been raised by the Black Lives Matter movement, that conditions for the black masses and even for workplaces that had significant black majorities, part of the systemic racism that Black Lives Matter had risen up against, even though the focus had been on the role of government in the form of the police in terms of the systemic racism of the state. So I think those two things, you emerge when you kind of feel almost like that there's a climate that characterizes particular problems that people face,
mm-hmm.
and that they probably saw, you know, their emergence as being having a potential of really being supported by this national sentiment and possibly by this national movement. Mm-hmm. I think that's why they did it.
Right. They did get a lot of support, even national support. Even the president came out of support. What were some of the working conditions inside the Amazon warehouse? Because they talked a lot about that, too.
Well, you know, they were talking about the surveillance and, you know, the fact that even going to the bathroom is called time off. Depending on what you're dealing with, it's a 10 or 15 minute kind of thing. But then you run the risk, you understand, of losing some hours or time or pay. Mm-hmm. Or you also run the risk of being considered as somebody that's taking too much time away from your job, you know. So that's being treated like a machine, not like a human being. The pace of the job and the pace of the computers that you got to respond to, it wears you out. They were some of the conditions that existed.